The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome to it. It's the first day of our week here at the Nicole Sandler Show. And, you know, I do my best to try to keep you informed on the news and what's happening in the news and all that. But sometimes there's just so much going on that it's impossible to keep up with all of it. You know, there was a shooting at a school, an elementary school in Northern California today. And despite flipping around the cable news channels, such as they are, I found no mention of it because while they're carrying the Jeff Sessions hearing, he's testifying before the House Judiciary Committee today, but there are at least five people dead, four wounded after the gunman opened fire on an elementary school in Rancho Tahama, California. I think that's somewhere up near Chico, California. He opened fire on this elementary school and six other scenes, allegedly. The gunman was shot by police and is among the dead, so at least we got that going for us. The sheriff said he was randomly picking targets. Just another day in America, it seems. Meanwhile, over at the House Judiciary Committee, Jeff Sessions was testifying. We'll get to that in a minute. In the latest Roy Moore news, both Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, have called for Roy Moore to pull out of the Senate race from Alabama. So that's good. Now, Jeff Sessions was actually asked about that case by Sheila Jackson Lee today. And it's interesting because even Jeff Sessions had to admit that he believes the women.
As you well know, Lee Kaufman, Wendy Miller, Debbie Watson Gibson, Gloria Thacker Deason, and Beverly Young Nelson, these young women, have accused this individual, Judge Moore, who is running for a federal office, the United States Senate, of child sexual activity. Do you believe these young women?
I am have no reason to doubt these young women.
No
and with
reason
that in
to
mind,
doubt.
If you believe these young women, do you believe Judge Moore should be seated in the Senate if he wins? And would you introduce investigations by the DOJ regarding his actions?
We will evaluate every case as to whether or not it should be investigated. This kind of case would normally be a state case. I would say, Representative Jackson Lee, that the ethics people at the Department of Justice, and I've talked to them about that when this campaign started, it's the seat I used to hold, they advised me that the Attorney General should not be involved in this campaign. I have
Thank
friends
you.
In the campaign.
Thank you, Mr. General. I
have steadfastly adhered to
that. I want to make sure that if he
view,
comes to the United States
and I think
Senate,
I should continue to
if
do
he comes
so.
To the United States Senate, that there would be the possibility of referring his case for at least a federal review by the Department of Justice.
We will do our duty.
We will do our duty, is what he said there. Yeah. So when you have even Jeff Sessions saying, I have no reason not to believe these women, there's something there. With Laffey and her tweet spot today, we'll get into it a little more. Today, there's a push on by the Republicans to, this is unreal, to name a special counsel to be appointed to look into Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried. Seriously. Jim Jordan, you know, he's one of the crazies from the House Freedom Caucus. That's the former teabaggers. Jim Jordan asked Sessions what it would take to get a special counsel named. Apparently, they've been pushing for this for a long time. It's all based on, I guess, that Uranium One story that I've been corrected was first published in The Hill, but of course, Fox ran with it. It's an old story. It's been debunked. But that never stopped a Republican from pushing for a special counsel. Whoops, let's do this.
I guess my main question is, what's it going to take to actually get a special counsel?
It will take a factual basis that meets the standards of the appointment of a special counsel.
And is that analysis going on right now?
Well, it's in the manual of the Department of Justice about what's required. We've only had two. The first one was the Waco, Janet Reno, Senator Danforth, who took over that investigation as special counsel, and Mr. Mueller. Each of those are pretty special factual situations.
Let me ask it this
way. And we will use the proper standards, and that's what only thing I can tell you, Mr. Jordan.
Well, I appreciate that.
You can have your idea, but sometime we have to study what the facts are and to evaluate whether it meets the standard.
Well said. So let me ask you this. If, in fact,
a special counsel.
Evaluate whether it meets the standards to require a special counsel. The one thing that I heard Jeff Sessions say that I agree with today. Jeff Sessions actually pushing back on that, kind of a shocker. Now, John Conyers, it's tough to get through John Conyers' questions, but it's worth it. He asked if the Department of Justice could be used to retaliate against political opponents, which, after all, is what they're attempting to do here. This is what Donald Trump wants to do. So keep that in mind as you're following John Conyers' line of questioning here.
In a functioning democracy, is it common for the leader of the country to order the criminal justice system to retaliate against his political opponents?
Mr. Conyers, I would say that it's the Department of Justice can never be used to retaliate politically against opponents, and that would be wrong.
I interpret that as no.
The answer stands for itself, I guess.
Should the President of the United States make public comments that might influence a pending criminal investigation?
Should it take great care in those issues?
Could you respond yes or no?
Well, I don't know exactly the facts of what you're raising and what
amounts to criticize
the concern
Trump.
You have. I would say it's improper to influence. It would be a president cannot improperly influence an investigation.
Okay.
And I have not been improperly influenced and would not be improperly influenced.
No.
The president speaks his mind.
Yes.
He's bold and direct about what he says. Elected him, but we do our duty every day based on the law and the facts.
Reclaiming my time, I'm not impugning these comments to you or what you would do in advance. Last night, sir, the Assistant Attorney General sent the chairman a letter suggesting that the Attorney General has directed senior federal prosecutors to evaluate certain issues, like the sale of Uranium One in 2010. Now, at your confirmation hearing, you said, I believe the proper thing for me to do would be to recuse myself from any questions involving those kinds of investigations that involved Secretary Clinton and that were raised during the campaign or to be otherwise connected to it. Now, for my yes or no question, are you recused from investigations that involve Secretary Clinton?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I cannot answer that yes or no.
Of course not.
Because under the policies of the Department of Justice, to announce recusal in any investigation would reveal the existence of that investigation. And the top ethics officials have advised me I should not do so.
He was infuriating to listen to, and because that's how his answers were. Of course, he didn't recall or he could not remember things again and again and again and again. There was some great questioning. Pramila Jayapal, just recently, I was trying to record it, and my recording got screwed up. She was awesome. I miss Ted Lieu. I hear he was great. You know, the problem with watching these hearings is you got to sit through Jeff Sessions' answers, and they're deadly in many cases. You know, speaking figuratively. There was another hearing going on at the same time. There were a few taking place today, but these were the big ones. That one and the other one that I was particularly interested in is going on in the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. It's about the president's unrestricted authority to order a nuclear attack. Now, Chris Murphy of Connecticut got up and made the point that is the reason that they're having this hearing in the first place.
We are concerned that the president of the United States is so unstable, is so volatile, has a decision-making process that is so quixotic that he might order a nuclear weapons strike that is wildly out of step with U.S. national security interests. And so let's just recognize the exceptional nature of this moment and the discussion that we're having today.
We go a little further into that in What's News, so I won't spend more time here. But a busy day on Capitol Hill. The president is on his way home on the final leg of the trip from Hawaii, where they stopped to refuel. And then he's coming back. Gee, aren't we lucky? Allegedly, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan have spoken with Dump and Pence and the rest of the cabal there about the Roy Moore situation. So who knows? You know, this is the interesting thing about it. You've got the sexual predator in chief in the Oval Office who's going to weigh in and say that Roy Moore should step aside. Talk about a hypocrite. Right. We'll get into all this with Gotta Laugh. It is Tuesday, after all, and we'll have Laffy's tweet spot after a look at What's News.
I read the news today. Oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
A fifth Alabama woman has come forward to accuse Roy Moore of improper advances when she was a teenager. Beverly Young Nelson, now 55, said that Roy Moore sexually assaulted her when she was just 16.
Mr. Moore reached over and began groping me, him putting his hands on my breasts. I tried to open my car door to leave, but he reached over and he locked it so I could not get out. I tried fighting him off while yelling at him to stop. But instead of stopping, he began squeezing my neck, attempting to force my head onto his crotch. I thought that he was going to rape me. I was twisting and I was struggling and I was begging him to stop. At some point he gave up. And he then looked at me and he told me, he said, "You're just a child." And he said, "I am the district attorney of Etowah County. And if you tell anyone about this, no one will ever believe you."
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell delivered his most forceful condemnation of the former judge. When asked if he thinks Moore should step aside and if he believes the allegations to be true, McConnell said yes.
"I think he should step aside."
"Are you encouraging a write-in campaign with Senator Strange?"
That's an option we're looking at, whether or not there is someone who could mount a write-in campaign successfully.
Would it be Senator Strange, do you think?
We'll see.
Is the burden on Moore to prove these false versus someone to prove that these are true in this situation? Or do you believe these allegations to be true?
I believe the women, yes.
Well, we've now had some time to, you know, to look into this, and it seems to me that those allegations have a lot of credibility, and I have not heard a response that has that level of credibility. So, yeah, it would be best if you were to step aside.
I think that it would be better if someone replaced Judge Moore. I just think it's better for the conservative cause and for the state of Alabama if a different person steps forward.
I have to say, I think the accusations have more credibility than the denial. I think it would be best if Roy would just step aside.
Senator Cory Gardner, head of the Senate Republican Campaign Committee, said that the Senate should vote to expel Moore if he wins because he does not meet the ethical and moral requirements of the U.S. Senate. Moore has become more defiant in his own defense. As with the other accusers, he claims he doesn't know Beverly Young Nelson. He's refusing to leave the race and said that Mitch McConnell is the one who needs to step aside. In a report by The New Yorker, multiple locals claim they remember Moore being banned from the Gadsden Mall when he was the assistant district attorney to Etowah County, quote, because he repeatedly badgered teenage girls. Two of the women who accused Moore of dating them when they were teens and he in his 30s said they met him at that mall. According to a new report in The Atlantic, Donald Trump Jr. corresponded with WikiLeaks via Twitter direct messages during the 2016 campaign. WikiLeaks first contacted the junior Trump in September, alerting him about the pending launch of a website that would highlight ties between the candidate and Russian President Putin. WikiLeaks made several requests, including asking for Trump's tax returns, telling the campaign to reject election results should they lose, as rigged, and more. Trump Jr. frequently ignored the messages, but occasionally responded as if he had acted on them. Before leaving for his Asia trip, Trump told reporters,
I don't know. I'm really not involved with the Justice Department. I'd like to let it run itself. But honestly, they should be looking at the Democrats. They should be looking at Podesta and all of that dishonesty. They should be looking at a lot of things. And a lot of people are disappointed in the Justice Department, including me.
10 days later, the Justice Department tells Congress that senior prosecutors are looking into whether a special counsel should be appointed to investigate misconduct at the Clinton Foundation and the Obama administration's 2010 decision to allow a Russian nuclear energy agency to acquire uranium from the U.S., among other matters. This, according to a letter sent to the House Judiciary Committee from a senior Justice Department official on Monday. Attorney General Jeff Sessions will likely be asked about that investigation, as well as Russia investigation-related questions, as he testifies Tuesday before the House Judiciary Committee. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee holding a hearing on Tuesday on the president's unrestricted authority to order a nuclear attack. Legislation checking that authority has been introduced by Democrats Ed Markey in the Senate and Ted Lieu in the House. Committee Chairman Republican Bob Corker said, quote, this discussion is long overdue. Brett Talley, the 36-year-old who's only been practicing law for 3 years, has never tried a case and received a rare not qualified rating from the American Bar Association, who was nominated by Trump to a lifetime appointment as a federal district judge in Alabama, is coming under more fire. After advancing through the Senate Judiciary Committee on Thursday along party lines, comes the revelation that he didn't disclose the conflict of interest that his wife, Ann Donaldson, is the chief of staff to the White House counsel, Don McGahn. Donaldson has emerged in recent weeks as a witness in Robert Mueller's investigation into whether Trump obstructed justice. I got the And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, now heard Tuesday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Voices Network, I hope you'll consider a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without you. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, yes. Every Tuesday, right around this time, we get together with our old pal, Gotta Laugh, and just talk about what's going on in the world. Hello?
Yes, you've reached the No More hotline.
Ah, cool. I'm sick of more at this point.
Yes.
No
press
more, more.
One if you... I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Okie dokie. press one if you think Alabama Republicans have another name for plying teenage girls with alcohol and molesting them in a secret cabin hideaway. The Alabama Hospitality Center.
Ooh.
Yes, that was dark humor.
Yes.
Press two if you think after seeing how much Moore covets the Ten Commandments, there should be one more added. Thou shalt not hold office.
Yes.
Press three if you think the letters GOP stand for gross old pedophiles.
Or perverts, that too.
Yeah, that works. Yeah.
There's a lot of them that we've come up with.
You know, listening to your What's News, and before you even started to, you know, to play it, I was so overwhelmed with the amount of stuff that's being thrown at us. And I was trying to keep up with the hearings this morning. In the West Coast, it starts at 7 a.m. And so I'm up trying to listen, trying to read the news, trying to tweet about what's happening, trying to wash my hair, blow my hair dry, you know, get ready for the day, all simultaneously as other news is breaking about the tax reform, or I'm not going to call it tax reform, tax cut plan, how they're going to try to get rid of the individual mandate, how they're going to end up with a possible $25 billion cut to Medicare.
Yep.
I mean, all... Yeah, I have that. I don't even know if I have that up for today's tweet spot. But oh my God, there is so much going on that I can't. You said it yourself. It's just all coming at us.
Yes, there's so much, and this is every day. It makes my stomach hurt. There's just too much, and it's overwhelming.
And then I can't retain any of it because I'm jumping so quickly from story to story, right? Like, then I totally forgot about the Trump Jr., whatchamacallit, the WikiLeaks thing. And so when you were talking about it on What's News, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. That was yesterday.
That was just yesterday. So, right. Yeah. And that's amazing. A big story. And what's his name? Julian Assange tweeted today to Donnie Jr., about making him the ambassador to Australia. I mean, it's just the other part of it is it's so absurd that these stories that make no sense at all are in there with the rest of the news. And it is literally impossible to keep on top of all of it.
It really is. I watch my Twitter streams. I've got them set up so that I have several running at once, mostly from journalists, so I can see what's happening as it breaks. And I'm looking and going, oh, my God, that happened? And what you were just referred to, our friend Marcy Wheeler tweeted it out. She had the original DM of it that she had a screen grab of. I'm not sure how. She said called it a DM. Maybe she meant tweet. But it was what you were talking about. But, wow, I mean, there's just so much. But anyway, so... I've got about 10 tweets from today, and then I've got the ones I sent you from yesterday. So you want to get right into it?
Let's do it. Here we go.
Whoops. All right.
Oh, it would help if I did this.
Oh. Welcome to my tweet
tweet. So what?
Every time I laugh. Okay, so Alex Seitzwald from NBC News
yes.
tweeted out this screen grab of a fundraising thing from, I guess it's Judge Roy Moore.
First of all, let me just say something. He's not a judge anymore, although,
right.
you know, he uses the name Judge Roy Moore, but he was removed from the bench.
Right.
A couple of times, actually. So, I catch myself because I say it, too, because we've heard of Judge Roy Moore for so long. He's not a judge.
Right. No, I was actually reading.
I know.
That.
I see
yeah,
it.
But you're right.
It's in his logo.
You know, he refers to himself all the time that way. And you see it in print a lot. I've been calling him no more. But
right.
hey. the little letter. Okay, I'll read you Alex Seitzwald's tweet first. It says, Roy Moore basically asking you to believe there's a conspiracy that stretches from the Washington Post to George Soros to Mitch McConnell.
Right.
And then this is what the fundraising email says. It says the Obama Clinton machine. First, it says something about the DNC, but that cut off. I can't quite read that. But anyway, it says billionaire George Soros and his army of radical left-wing foot soldiers.
Bum, bum,
and
bum.
Now Mitch McConnell, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and the establishment GOP. The same Republicans who attempted to sabotage Donald Trump's campaign are gunning for me with everything they've got. And it goes on. He says it's getting nasty. The national GOP is considering strategies to get rid of him. So he's obviously feeling the heat. But I mean, look what he's saying.
Yeah. And this is a fundraiser. He's raising money off of the fact that women are coming forward to say he molested me when I was a child.
Yes, he is trying to make money off of the pain and the devastation and the trauma that he caused several women, several young kids, but now are women. When I watched her, when I watched, and I've forgotten her name, I'm so sorry. The one who was on TV yesterday, I have it somewhere. But anyway, she was on, and I watched the entire thing live. It was streaming, and I was just like, wait, what? And I was taking live grabs of the screen because she was showing the line drawing, the caricature of her as a kid, and right. then her yearbook picture of her as the same kid, and then the yearbook inscription by Roy Moore, D.A., which he wasn't. Ugh. He was an assistant D.A.
Right.
Yeah,
her name is Beverly Young Nelson.
Thank you. Forgetting her name. Yesterday, Robert Costa got onto MSNBC and called her Beverly Johnson and then referred to what was the other name? He so screwed up. Oh, I can't remember. And it was a well-known name. I was like, wait, how did you get that one wrong? I can't remember. Anyway, but, you know, and so I got a bunch of I put those live grabs up, right, of the inscription mm-hmm. where he pulls a power trip, calling himself a DA to the sweet, beautiful young thing in the yearbook, and the pictures. And I get all these trolls all of a sudden, and most of them look like bots. And they were saying, oh, you know, so where's the picture of her with her in the yearbook if it's really her? And I said, if you would watch, you know, if you'd look at the pictures, you'd kind of know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. So they're running scared.
It's just such a reprehensible story. And I don't know how anyone could watch that yesterday and see this woman and have any doubt whatsoever. I really think because she came forward and put her face on TV, not just her name in the newspaper, which the other four did. But to speak out like that, she'd have to be one hell of an actress to be able to be that convincing.
Oh, my God, no. I mean, she was really crying and her nose was running.
I know.
And it was just, it wasn't fake tears type of thing where you go, oh yeah, there she goes. You know,
right.
it was for realsies.
It was real.
And, but the main, what really grabbed me was that she had his signature DA. There was no question about who signed that yearbook and when, cause he dated it.
Yes. And he's still denying that he knows her, that he ever met her.
Yeah. Because he's, you know what? He's done this to so many women, so many girls.
He probably doesn't remember.
Remember.
Sure. He probably has no memory of her. He's just one. Well, the whole story about the you know, he's banned from that mall.
Yeah.
That's creepy.
I know. He would get in a suit and tie and he'd sort of, you know, troll the mall for young teens who were getting out of the movie theater near, you know, within the mall.
Yeah.
And he got a bad reputation. They were either they weren't 100% clear on the ban, but they said pretty much word of mouth. If it wasn't a full on ban, it was a word of mouth. Watch out for this guy. Get him out of here. You know?
Right.
He had a problem and it's been documented now in really credible, airtight ways. So I'm not sure where he gets off. Well, I know why he's saying he didn't do it, but his denials are not going to go too far at
this point.
Well,
it's the Donald Trump game book. It's the Donald Trump game book. And it'll be interesting to see if Trump, you know, according to news reports this afternoon, McConnell and Paul Ryan, who both came out and said unequivocally he needs to step down, he needs to not be on the ballot, that they've communicated with Trump about this. So what a hypocrite. If Trump comes out and takes a holier than thou attitude, he is the predator in chief. This is what he does. And what kills me is how many women came forward before the election and said, you know, he molested me, he touched me inappropriately, he did whatever to
20
me.
20 something.
And they're all lying, according to Sarah Sanders. Oh, they're all lying. We've made that very clear. Supposedly he was going to sue them all. Remember, whatever happened to that?
Oh, he never was going to fucking sue them all. Right. Anyway, but they should be asking him, Ryan and McConnell and everybody else should be asking Trump why he's not dropping out. I mean, this is the whole thing. It is so reeky of hypocrisy. It's so disgusting how far the tribalism goes, where all that matters is, I'd rather vote for a child molester than a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's come to, and that's what they're so proud of. They're, oh, yay, you know, if they win, yay, we won a seat. Well, this guy is is poison. And for them to, for anyone to vote for him is admitting that they are fine with child molesting.
Yeah.
It just makes me sick. Anyway, let's move on to, I've got a million of these. Golden Gate Blonde, who is, she calls herself a Twitcher personality. She has some following for just a Twitter personality. She says, guy who's about to get a lifetime appointment to the bench has never, this is what you were referring to in your tweet, in your tweet spot, in your what's news, has never tried a case, was declared, quote, not qualified by the American Bar Association, and, quote, forgot to reveal his wife is a White House lawyer who's a witness in the Mueller investigation.
It's amazing. With each new, it's like an onion. They keep peeling back layers on this guy. Now, he passed out of the committee along party lines. He hasn't been confirmed yet. If they confirm this, then what's the point? I mean, my dog Jackson
exactly
can be
right.
a judge.
Yes,
he's
exactly.
got as much qualification.
Between him and child molester Moore, they have absolutely no standards. All they care about is winning votes for their agenda. That's all they care about. And this is at people's lives' expense. This is, I mean, these poor teenage girls who are scarred. There was a letter in the LA Times today. I wish I'd saved it to read you, but basically it was a teacher, and I've been in this situation, who had a number of students, young students, open up to her about such situations, maybe being molested or other things like that, being attacked, being almost being raped, you know, whatever. And her words were, kids don't talk about it. They, and I can vouch for this, they won't talk about it unless somehow you've gained their trust so deeply. And then it's a private talk. I've had these talks with kids. And so for anyone to say, well, why didn't the kids speak up? They had 25 years or whatever. Kids don't talk, and then they're afraid to talk. And then time goes by and they know they're going to get attacked, which they are right now. There's a million reasons why women don't come forward as adults who have been, look at, you know, the Weinstein thing, or as kids, especially kids.
Well,
if
kids,
I was 14,
right, they don't know, they think they did something wrong,
right? Or I remember telling, when I was about 11 or 12, I my parents used to fight, and there was some violence, and I wanted to tell my friends, and my parents said, don't you ever tell anybody, because it'll ruin your father's reputation or whatever it was. And so I didn't. Mm-hmm. And it was in me, and it was in me, and it was eating me alive. And I finally told one of my friends, and I was so worried that I had opened my mouth. And this was no one else ever knew, you know. And so that wasn't even me being attacked. That was me watching my parents go at it.
Right. No, the kids have a lot of guilt, and they think things are their fault, or they've been warned not to tell anybody, or there's a whole number of reasons. Who knows? But these women all told someone within the next couple of years. I mean, Beverly, who's the rest of her name I'm forgetting. Anyway, Beverly told her sister, I think, not too long after, and then told her mother a few years later, told her husband before she married him.
Yeah.
There's that guilt where you think, you know, that you must have done something wrong. You know, they all said that they thought they were the only one.
Yes,
you
because
know?
No one would talk. Exactly. That's what happens. And then you think, well, if I'm the only one, you know, why am I going to start?
No one's going to believe me. He even told her, if you tell anyone, no one's going to believe you.
Right. Oh, all right. So on to the next thing. Trump's legacy from the AP. This is about Trump's legacy in my words. Their words are, Trump is nominating white men to America's federal courts at a rate not seen in nearly 30 years. And there's a quote. So far, 91% of Trump's nominees are white and 81% are male. Three of every four are white men, with few African Americans and Hispanics in the mix. The last president to nominate a similarly homogenous group was George H.W. Bush.
Wow.
Who he himself has been accused of grabbing.
Yes, he has.
Teenager.
And more keep coming forward.
Yeah. There was one yesterday that came forward. She was 16, I believe she said, and he grabbed her ass.
Yep.
So this is happening. Both reporters it's called Stat News. They're a health news organization.
Okay.
Jason Ukman and Gideon Gill. Anyway, Scoop versus via Lev Foch. Forget the names. I can't even pronounce them. Trump breaking with precedent will not meet with American Nobel recipients.
Isn't
chemistry laureate Frank is a very relieved, adds, I will not put my foot into the White House as long as Trump is president. So there was the good news and the bad news.
Right.
The bad news was he won't do it, and the good news is they don't want him to.
Trump probably doesn't understand what the Nobel Prize is.
Right.
Seriously.
He probably thinks it's like a blue ribbon.
Right. You know, why do I have to honor? Say it's like another sports team, right?
A news thing came across. Ryan is saying that the House is going to require lawmakers to get training to prevent sexual harassment.
Oh, the House,
which is
now
good.
Too? Good, because the Senate is already as well.
Right. And that is good, but it doesn't prevent people from doing it. It just keeps some people from, I mean, which is good. I mean,
right.
You know, come
but
on. Let's...
They got to have the training, which, you know, is you know, par for the course. In any corporation you work at, they have sexual harassment training. Any big company, and Congress should be the same.
Yeah, Mr. Laffey's had to go through it every year. I totally get that. But I really don't think it's going to stop the people who were, you know, the real hardcore.
Nope.
Ugh. The Hill reports 53 Alabama pastors signed a letter backing Roy Moore's immovable convictions for biblical principles. But then today, and I don't have this in front of me, so I may get this a little off. Here, let me read Shannon Moore's response first. Time to revoke tax exemption for cults who embrace pedophiles.
Well,
yes.
Yeah, that. Except this new tax bill is going to overturn the Johnson Amendment, which allows religious houses of worship to preach politics from the pulpit.
I can't stand it. I can't stand I can't stand it. Okay, here. Here's the little update on the that's the wrong update.
Some of the pastors, didn't give their permission to use their names.
Yes, three of them so far have asked their names to be removed. Kayla Moore posts support from 50. I'm trying to find the sentence. Well, I can't, but that's the headline. So yeah, it's already backfiring is what I'm getting at. Okay. All right. Dan Yochin, he works for Schumer in the Senate. Senate Republicans keep citing their work with Senator Baucus as proof that this 2017 GOP tax reform effort is bipartisan. Senator Baucus left the Senate in February 2014.
Yeah, I was going to say, what the hell? Senator Max Baucus hasn't been there in a few years.
But that's our GOP.
Oh, my God.
People, I mean, you know, they're so bad that I laugh, but they're so bad that I also cry. They're horrible. These people are horrible. You know, people talk about the good Republicans now. You know, we're talking about like Corker and what's his name? The other
Jeff
one who's
Flake,
leaving.
But they're very right-wing Republicans.
Yes.
You know, the only thing good about them is that they're speaking out against Trump, and good for them for doing that. But they should stay and fight him, not leave.
And if they don't feel that they can fight him because they're going to get beaten in the election or in the primary, at least vote against, you know, take a protest vote against him instead of going along with every single thing he wants to do.
Yep.
I mean, they have like 99% yes to Trump votes. So, it's one thing to talk about. It's another thing to put your money where your big fat mouth is.
That's right.
Josh Schwerin, who used to work for Hillary, responded to Mitch McConnell saying that he believes the women who are accusing Moore. He said, does he believe the women who have accused Trump? And that's what we were saying.
Good question.
I
believe the women who have accused Trump. What I want to know is where they are. I mean, everybody got very quiet once he got elected. We're not hearing from these women anymore, which I guess...
Well, one is doing a defamation thing.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, you don't hear much about it.
Nope.
It came out, the headline came out for a day. Few people saw it, few people retweeted it, that kind of thing. You know, it wasn't a big storyline because so much else is going on. So then we start asking, well, where are they? Well, at least one is trying to do something.
Right.
A lot of them, the statute of limitations have run out.
Well, that's the thing. There's no, you can't take legal action because of the statute of limitations, which is not stopping these women from coming out against Moore because they're not looking to, you know, get money from him or do anything but get the word out that this man is a pedophile.
And that was the other thing the trolls were saying. Oh, well, then why aren't they suing him? Well, they don't care about the money.
And, suing him, oh, it's all about the money.
Exactly.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, God, you can't win. All right. So this is a two-parter. Dinesh D'Souza. said in a tweet, "I was lukewarm on Roy Moore until the last minute smear. Now we must elect him to show that the Washington Post sleaze attack failed." And Renato Mariotti, who is now a candidate for Illinois Attorney General, replied, "Only a criminal like D'Souza would get more excited about a candidate after finding out he's a pedophile."
Yeah, I did hear one theory last night on one of the shows that, you know, this is gonna energize, you know, the hardcore right wing crazies.
Yes.
To make them more apt to, you know, fight to get Roy Moore in there to go up against the fake liberal media.
Right, and that some are getting upset that the establishment Republicans or the, you know, the Yankees are coming in to try to talk us out of this, and we know how to vote, so don't tell us what to do.
Right.
So yeah, things can backfire, but then I've heard other people say, well, there are a whole lot of good people who live there, and they're going to know what to do, and they're going to do the right thing. However, on the other hand, yesterday there was this journalist who has been on Maddow a couple of times because he is probably the most accurate in terms of prediction. He knows Alabama like the back of his hand. He's been at this for a long time. I can't think of his name. And he has predicted everything in every election so far. I'm not talking about necessarily outcomes in terms of numbers. I'm talking about, well, I think this guy's going to win because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's convinced that Moore is still going to win. He said, yes, there's definitely been a sea change type of thing, but he just thinks, excuse me, that Moore is still going to win because
of the
GOP there.
Right. I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. I've got an ad. It's a 30-second radio ad that's running for Doug Jones.
Good.
Listen to this. Here.
Okay.
This is actually an ad.
I'm a lifelong Republican, but I just can't do it.
I can't vote for Roy Moore.
He's already been removed from office twice.
This time it's even worse.
You read the story and it just shakes you.
Just awful. I just don't trust him.
He's too divisive. Don't decency and integrity matter anymore?
I'm a Republican, but Roy Moore, no way.
I'm for Doug Jones.
I'm another Republican for Doug Jones.
I'm Doug Jones, and I approve this message.
So it's an ad of Republicans for Doug Jones. It's a smart ad. I hope they're also running a lot of ads that tell people who Doug Jones is, because he's got an unimpeachable record. I mean, he's, you know.
But all they care about is that he is a Democrat who's going to be for abortion.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard other Republicans say, which is so insane. I mean, look what they're talking about, a child molester. Joni Jensen in our chat room, she said, "I read last night while reading about Mrs. Moore that she was posting a list of the 50 preacher endorsers, but they had endorsed him before the primary and before the child molesting thing came out, and they were beginning to call foul. Not yet three when I was reading the reports. Yeah, now at least three have. So, but that's the little backstory. So thank you for that, Joni.
Thank you, Joni.
So John Aravosis of America Blog, he tweeted, just updating the growing list of things that Donald Trump's Republican Party has now normalized. One, sexual assault.
Yep.
Two, treason.
Mm-hmm.
Three, Nazis. Uh-huh. Four, child molestation. And then Joan McCarter of the Daily Kos said, five, torture. Bush torture memo author Steve Bradbury is being confirmed right now to serve in the Trump administration. McCain is the only Republican no.
Wow.
That's major.
That's
what's happening, though. And the judges, oh my God, he is packing the courts with far right conservative judges. So if we try to contest elections, abortion rights, voting rights, you name it, the judges that will be judging these things are his judges, are Trump judges.
And again, the reason there are so many judicial openings is because the Republicans refuse to bring any of Obama's nominees up for confirmation vote for years. And so more and more kept opening up. And that's why there are so many for Trump to fill.
And then they complain that there were so many vacancies. You know, why are they all these vacancies? Obama sure is bad at this, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
And they were the ones who were obstructing. It's always the same story. And then when it's their turn, they accuse the Democrats of obstructing when we're basically saying we're not just obstructing. We hate what this person stands for. This is bad stuff, guys. But, you know, we're bad. We're obstructionists. All right. So on to Sessions and then some other things. I have a few tweeties from today.
Okay. I've got
Sessions,
a few also. Go ahead.
Sessions basically was saying, I was actually listening. I'm paraphrasing when I say this, but this is what he's pretty much saying in one of his answers to one of the Democrats' questions. I lied because so much was going on. How could I not lie? In other words, I was so confused. I mean, all this stuff was happening. How could I remember this or that?
I have the clip. You want to hear the clip?
You do? Yep. Oh, my God.
Okay, here's Jeff Sessions denying that he lied, and listen to his excuse.
Most of you have not participated in a presidential campaign, and none of you had a part in the Trump campaign. And it was a brilliant campaign, I think, in many ways, but it was a form of chaos every day from day one. We traveled sometimes to several places in one day. Sleep was in short supply, and I was still a full-time senator with a very full schedule. During this year, I've spent close to 20 hours testifying before Congress before today. I have been asked to remember details from a year ago, such as who I saw on what day, in what meeting, and who said what to when.
Who said what to when?
In all of my testimony, I can only do my best to answer your questions as I understand them and to the best of my memory. But I will not accept and reject accusations that I have ever lied. That is a lie.
Yeah.
Oh, we get so indignant. Well, actually, that wasn't one of the times.
There was another time he talked about the chaos. It was so chaotic.
And that was another time.
Right.
Then way at the end, I didn't get to see the very end because it was showtime, but toward the very end, he said it again in a way that was actually, I lie because I lie. I mean, you know, there's so much going on. How could I not?
Oh,
I mean, he didn't use the words I'm using, but that was definitely the gist of it. I really had it like, what? You just said, what? Please. I mean, that's so lame. Here's something that Alex Seitzwald put out today. Wow, miss this. Chairman of the Alabama GOP is basically threatening future ballot access to any official who breaks with Moore.
I saw that, saying that they can't run for 6 years or something like that. I did see that.
It says here, Sunday Republican Chairman Terry Lathan told the Alabama Political Reporter that she has not even heard of any GOP elected official or candidate that is even considering running as a write-in, and warned GOP and officials and candidates not to endorse Doug Jones or a write-in. Quote, it would be a serious error for any current elected GOP official or candidate to publicly endorse another party's candidate, an independent, a third party, or a write-in in a general election as well. I have heard of no GOP elected official or candidate that is even considering this option. She added, here's the party rule on denying ballot access. Denying ballot access, this committee reserves the right to deny ballot access to a candidate for public office if in a prior election that person was a Republican office holder and either publicly participated in the primary election of another political party or publicly supported a nominee of another political party. The provisions of this rule shall apply for a period of 6 years after such person so participated. This rule does not include all of the reasons for denying ballot access.
Isn't that amazing? So for 6 years, say I'm a Republican, right? And I come out publicly against Roy Moore in Alabama. For 6 years, I can't run for anything as a Republican.
Yeah.
That's
the big tent party.
Yeah. There you go.
I got one.
Trayvon Free, who works on Full Frontal with Sam B., tweeted, so sad that Jeff Sessions suffers from that debilitating brain disorder where you can only remember things after someone proves you lied about it. Should we set up a charity walk or something?
Somebody said that they should set up a committee that just covers lies.
Mm-hmm.
Yamiche Alcindor, New York Times, mm-hmm. Congresswoman Barbara Comstock just said she heard a story about a staffer who quit because a lawmaker asked her to come to his home to drop off some materials and then opened his home door in a towel and exposed himself. Stories
Lovely.
Are piling up.
I didn't know Louis C.K. was a lawmaker. Sorry.
Ouchie. Mike, I wish I could get his name right. See, I'm going to say Gillette, G-O-L-L-E-T-T. He says he's a sha-la-la-la man.
Okay.
I don't know what he does, but so the Republican answer to sexual harassment is less women in the workplace, but the answer to gun violence is more guns.
Right. That's their warped way of thinking. And that sums it up too. That's exactly
right.
How they think.
That they actually said that somebody said, I can't remember the congressman's name, but he said, well, obviously then we shouldn't, you know, having women around is sort of like a, you know, it's a jeopardy situation, kind of, you know, less women, less problems.
Mm-hmm.
How about all women? How about that?
Yeah, well, you know, because going on at the same time, I think there was another hearing or something going on about, you know, sexual harassment in Congress. Mm-hmm. Claire McCaskill came out and said that when she was a congressional intern at one point, and she was sexually abused or harassed or something. I don't have it in front of me, but she came out and said something. We all heard about Jackie Speier, also
yep.
said she was, you know, taken advantage of. I mean, it's so disgusting. You hear the stories of some of the old timers that you knew when you were a young woman working on Capitol Hill, you knew not to get into an elevator with certain of the men.
And she said that there were two currently in Congress.
Oh God.
Who she was referring to.
Wow.
Current.
Wow.
So Julia Davis, who is an investigative reporter and filmmaker, especially in Russian media. This is funny. This is just sort of off topic. Russia's Ministry of Defense says employee, quote, mistakenly posted screenshots from the computer game AC-130 Gunship Simulator Special Ops Squadron as, quote, irrefutable evidence that the U.S. is helping ISIS. She says, understandable. Such an easy mistake to make.
Oh, my God.
Oh my God, that I love that. And then she showed a still, and it's in Russian, so I can't read it. So it's great. All right, so back to today's sessions. Sarah Rees-Jones of Politicus USA, Representative Bass. This was awesome. Pushing Jeff Sessions on his blindness ray, white identity extremists, while focusing on black identity extremists. He claims, quote, this department will not unlawfully target people. We go on. Sarah Kendzior says, you know who she is? She's from mm-hmm. the Globe and Mail. She said, Sessions is melting down after Jeffrey's tough questions and is now contradicting his earlier testimonies again. Sessions' racism is blatantly displayed when he faces tough questions from black representatives. He can't contain his outrage. Similar to Trump, when Trump faces questions from black reporters, especially women.
Yeah, you know, Hakeem Jeffries was great because he started out asking, he said, when you testified before the Senate Intelligence Committee on such and such a date, you said that you didn't remember, you know, 29 times. And he said, I don't know. And he said, well, and then when you testified before this committee on this date, you said, I don't recall 35 times. I don't remember. And you could tell he didn't want to use those words.
Right.
And he's like, you know, I guess if you say so. And it was pretty good. It was really great questioning.
We had some good questioners. Ted Lieu was great.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was one more who was terrific. And now it slips my mind, but it was Priyapal.
Jayapal. Jayapal.
Jayapal.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, really clear.
Mm-hmm.
Bang, bang, bang. Just one after the other. Very clear. I loved listening to her. I'm sorry I screwed her name up. I was reading something as I was saying that. Empty Wheel, our buddy, Marcy Wheeler, she tweeted, Richmond, out of all judges nominated, I think 98% have been white males. Sessions, you should look for qualified candidates. Richmond, National Bar Association could recommend a number of minority candidates that are qualified.
That's true. I have one from Marcy as well. She wrote,
oh, goody.
Gotta say, I'd have bet that Sessions would have gotten to executive privilege in less than 1:44. I don't know if it came in at 1 minute and 44 seconds or an hour and 44 minutes, but 1:44. But then he's been so busy saying he doesn't recall.
So true. Yeah, he was going back and forth between I don't recall and stumbling and stammering
uh-huh.
and getting heated over how dare you call me a liar to also that executive privilege utter bull. Matthew Miller, Matt Miller over in the MSNBC Justice and Security, he said no assistant attorneys general either. Only one U.S. attorney. Oh, he's talking about how many black people. No assistant attorney general either. Only one U.S. attorney and only one judicial nominee. Quote, what do you have to lose? Quoting Trump, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in reaction to Sessions saying, I do not have a senior staff member at this time that is an African-American. At this time.
Sure. At this time. As if ever. Yeah, I saw a whole bunch of tweets about that as well.
Oh, God. So Garrett Hake, he was a MSNBC guy. Sessions really doesn't like it when lawmakers imply he's lying about something, pounds the table. I don't think it's right to accuse me of doing something wrong. And I tweeted back, Sessions is most defensive about accusations of lying. I can't imagine why. That one got a lot of interest. And I just put that out there as an obvious statement. It's, mm-hmm. it's when he gets the most heated. It's when he gets the most passionate. Everything else he doesn't really seem to care much about, much about.
I got to tell you, Saturday Night Live has been particularly weak this season, I think. However, I can't listen to him hear his voice without seeing Kate McKinnon in my head doing that, the possum face.
Yes. Oh, my God. She does look like a possum.
Well, and there was a thing this weekend with a possum. I think it was this weekend.
That's right. Yes, she did. That's right.
She pulled out a possum and he was calling it daddy.
Oh, daddy. That's right. Radley Balco of the Washington Post, he tweeted, Sessions just said we've seen a spike in violent crime, the likes of which we haven't seen since the 60s. This is a lie. And our buddy LOL GOP said, but there is a spike in possible perjury by an attorney general nominee unlike anything we've ever seen.
There is that.
And I have one more.
Okay.
This is again from Matt Miller, justice and security analyst. What Sessions is asking us to believe, he previously didn't remember the Papadopoulos meeting. Now he remembers the parts that are exculpatory to him, but not any other details. And actually, you could say that about almost anything. He was remembering, you know, you ask him about immigration. He was great on detail. He remembered everything.
Uh-huh. Right. He just couldn't remember anything having to do with Russians.
Right. Exactly.
Or any meeting having to do with discussions about Russians or anything having to do with Russia. That's what he couldn't remember.
Right.
Meanwhile, the story that came out in The Atlantic, it was just yesterday, about Donald Trump Jr. DMing on Twitter with Julian Assange. So
that's right.
Here's one from Jason Leopold. Hi, at Donald J. Trump Jr. Follow for DM. Just kidding. with a link to that Atlantic article, which is kind
perfect.
Of funny.
Yeah.
And then Julian Assange tweeted out today, Dear Donald Trump Jr., our offer of being ambassador to the U.S. still stands. I could open a hotel-style embassy in D.C. with luxury immunity suites for whistleblowers. The public will get a turbocharged flow of intel about the latest CIA plots to undermine democracy. DM me, hashtag Vault8. Whatever that means. So I don't think it was a DM. You mentioned that Marcy Wheeler had tweeted it out. I think because this is from today.
Yeah, so I think it was that tweet. I think she just mislabeled it.
Uh-huh. So I think
it was the same thing.
Julian Assange tweeted that out today.
Yeah.
Because he's such a funny guy with such a great sense
riot.
Of humor. Yeah.
Yeah. We should hire him. He should be on the show with us and we can crack jokes together.
Yep. By the way, Daniel Dale, who is with the Toronto Star, he's got some great stuff. He tweeted, and this isn't funny or anything, it's just telling. Trudeau, unlike Trump, directly raised concerns with Duterte about his rights abusing drug war. Duterte said it was a, quote, personal and official insult. But you got Donald Trump who did not bring it up. Who didn't bring up the human rights abuse. Now, according to the White House, he did in private. But according to the Philippines, Trump never brought it up. And in this case,
when he did it in private, it was in passing.
Right. I don't believe he did at all.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think
because
so.
Because Duterte.
I think it was Huckabee Sanders said that it was in it was a quick remark in passing or something is because it didn't happen. And that was a way to say it happened with, you know, and just make it diminished in importance. So he doesn't care. He admires the fact that the guy goes around shooting and killing people. and murdering people.
And journalists. And there was the part where, I thought I had a clip on this, but I don't think I do. There was the closing, we're almost out of time. The closing ceremony in the Philippines, and Duterte says to the press, now you all need to leave. And then he called them spies, and Trump laughed.
Yeah. That's right, because Trump wants to be just like him when he grows up. If he could be a combination of Putin and Duterte, that's what he'd do, and I think he's going for that next Halloween.
I think you're right. With that, we're done. We're running late. So Gotta Laugh, find her on the Twitters at Gotta, GOTTALAFF, and at laffiesplace.com, at NicoleSandler.com.
Yeah.
All right, Laffy, I'll see you on the Twitters, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. And with that, we are done for the day. Don't forget, we'll be back again tomorrow. We're going to go into the Affordable Care Act and the latest on that. So be sure to tune in. All right? Okay.